Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified." Now, Father, we do thank You for this day. We thank You for the Word of God. And, Lord, we just thank You for the promises that You've given us and the things that we have that are purchased by the blood of Christ for us. Lord, the liberty that we have to be free and not just talk about it, but to be truly free at the most basic level, to be free from sin, free to serve You, free to do what's right. Lord, we just thank You for that. And I pray You'd help us, Lord, as we understand and look at Your Word. And I pray You'd help us to see what we need to see today. And on this great day where we celebrate as a nation our liberty and the proclaiming of our liberty and the Declaration of Independence. And Lord, we just pray that we would see that as Christians we have a greater freedom, a genuine, a true freedom. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we talk about liberty, we look at the passage of Scripture here. In this passage of Scripture that I read, there's just so many wonderful things to be said about it, so many wonderful things that we could preach at. You could pretty much take those three verses that I read, and you could just, if you took the time to dissect it and just think about and meditate on each one of the statements that are put there, and each one of those parenthetical statements that are put off by commas there, that are each statement that are set there. If you were to look at them and just look at the things that God said He's going to do, of course, we know that the Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of this, because in the New Testament, for example, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, He quotes directly from Isaiah 61, and He said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing." And of course, right after He told them that, they wanted to kill Him, didn't He? They tried to kill Him, but He said that this was fulfilled in their hearing, and He was telling them that He was the fulfillment of this. And we look at that, and he says that He came to do many things, to preach good tidings unto the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, but He said to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prison to them that are bound. So when we think about liberty, we talk about that, and that's the day we celebrate our liberty on this day. I'm personally kind of afraid that our culture has gotten to the point now, and they're trying to push with this new National Independence Day on June 19th, that they're calling it Juneteenth National Independence Day. I can see where they will try, as they've tried to wipe out our history and everything, I can see where they will try to merge the two to try to dilute the impact of this day and of the Declaration of Independence and all that. And there is a group of people who actually believe in their heart that America is evil. And does America have evils? Absolutely. And the amazing thing about it, though, is that the groundwork and the framework that was laid in the Declaration of Independence, it has set and made possible all of the and our Constitution has made possible all of the advances that we have made in our culture, that for the right, for the good. And although people often use it wrongly. But you know, Christ came to give us liberty. That's what the shed blood of Jesus Christ does. That's what the shedding of His blood does. And we have those parallels in our culture, in our Declaration of Independence and all these things. You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Right? And then the preamble to the Constitution talks about us, you know, in order to form a more perfect union and establish justice and promote the general welfare. And it goes on to say, to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. So we look at those things, and that picture, that focus of liberty is what it is about. And the idea of having liberty, and that is a divine, that idea is of a divine origin. That man's liberty is a gift of God, and his freedom is a gift of God. It's given by God. And Christ came to bring that back, obviously to rescue us from sin. But we see those parallels. The Marshall family had a song called Blood Bought My Freedom. I like that song. And it says, Land of the free, sweet home of liberty, but it came at such a great cost. And it talks about how our soldiers, brave and true, gave their lives for me and you. Thank God for the red, white, and blue. And blood bought my freedom. Someone had to die. Someone freely took my place. Blood was the price, the supreme sacrifice. Someone died that I might be free. And then it goes on and talks about how a battle was fought on Mount Calvary, and how Jesus died for us and shed His blood to give us freedom and liberty. And we talk about that parallel that we see there. And it's an amazing thing. And Jesus says very clearly here that He came to give us liberty. God came. And we talked about in the Sunday school this morning about stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, right? That we're not children of the bondwoman, but we're children of the free. Amen. We're free born. And you know, our forefathers fought for the liberty that we have, and since that time have fought to maintain it. But we consider ourselves in America to be free born, don't we? And as Christians, we, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, we consider ourselves to be free. Free from the law. Free from sin. Sin will not have dominion over us, for we're not under the law, but we're under grace, right? Amen. And so we know that, we understand that. But there's a parallel that we have to understand. There's some things as we look at our culture, we look at our life, we look at our world, we look at the things that are going on, there's some things that we ought to understand, and we ought to be able to translate, not just from our national world and our political freedom, but our spiritual freedom, our liberty, if you will. First of all, liberty is bought with a price. We just mentioned that, didn't we? Liberty is bought with a price. We were redeemed, not by corruptible things, but by incorruptible. We're bought with a price, by the precious blood of Christ, right? And our forefathers, and many of those who have served at the ready, and those who have actually fought and died, the idea is to protect our liberties. Go back to the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, the Spanish-American War. You go through all the wars that we've had, majority of the wars that we fought, at least until recent times, have been fought to preserve our liberty. We go to World War One and particularly World War Two, where the Japanese emperor and the Italian emperor and the German emperor, if you will, they all what? They wanted world conquest. We fought against communism. Communism wants what? They want world conquest. They may actually succeed at the rate we're going. But these people fought and died and bled so that we could stay free. That we could have freedom and that we could keep it. Freedom comes at a price. Liberty comes at a great cost. You look at the statements of our founding fathers and you find out that they had no illusions of what the cost of liberty was. And we have a culture now that doesn't appreciate it. They don't appreciate the liberty that they have. And it's sad that we get that point, and that's what's one of the things that's going to cause us to lose our liberty as a nation. Is because people don't appreciate the cost, the price. And as Christians, we get that way sometimes too. We stop thinking about the actual cost, what it cost. You know, the Bible says that Jesus bore our sins in His own body on the tree. Can you imagine what that cost Him? I mean, you and I are comfortable with sin. We shouldn't be, but many times we are. We're told in the book of Hebrews to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, aren't we? We're told we have to be careful. We have to be ready. We have to pay attention. Because it's easy for us to get comfortable with sin. Why do churches fail? Because most of the time it's because the people in the churches just get comfortable with sin and stop listening to God, isn't it? We look at our churches today. I was sitting there talking to a fella not long ago, and he's in an Episcopal church. And the people were upset with the preacher that was there, because most of the people in this church, they believed that they should have the right to protect themselves, right? And they're all Bible-believing people in the sense, of, at least for the most part, they seem to be Bible-believing in that regard. But they had a guy that was appointed to be their Episcopal priest or rector, whatever you call them, and everything. He was there and he came in, and a lot of them had concealed carry permits. And boy, he put out a notice right away that no guns were allowed in there at all. Nobody, even if you had a permit, even if you had training, there was going to be no security force for the church. There would be no guns in the church at all. And anybody who wanted to carry a gun was not welcome. And so they fought and fought and fought and fought and fought and got rid of it. And then the next person they got was a sodomite. Now they're fighting about that. I'd say they ought to just kick them both out and go independent, me. But the simple fact is that because of they're sitting there fighting to remain free as a congregation and to follow the Bible, because they've gotten themselves, because of their of generations of neglect, they have now gotten themselves to the point to where they have people in there that are in clear violation of the Word of God. And they're fighting a battle that, you know, the fellow I talked to, he said, "I don't know what we're going to do." I said, "Well, I think you ought to leave. I think the Bible-believing people ought to leave, because if you don't have any control of it, you shouldn't tolerate it. You know, certain things you shouldn't tolerate." But anyway, the liberty is bought with a price, and it's important. And when we forget that, we lose something. We lose the idea that, secondly, liberty is meant to endure. Liberty is meant to endure. Our founding fathers, in that preamble to the Constitution, they said they wanted to secure the blessings of liberty to themselves and to their posterity. That's us. The idea of our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution was that America would remain free, and we're seeing the loss of that. But our liberty in Christ is meant to endure. When we get saved and set free from sin, that's not supposed to just be a one-time deal and then we go back into bondage. It's supposed to grow. That freedom is supposed to grow. That liberty, that victory over sin is supposed to grow. As we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, it's supposed to grow. It's supposed to endure. Amen. For many years, we tried, and we used to try to export liberty. And then it degenerated into exporting democracy, not liberty. And we all like the idea of democracy. We all like to be able to vote and have a say. But, you know, you do realize that we're a republic based upon law, not just upon a 51% vote. What happens when 51% of the people say, there is such a thing as the tyranny of the majority? That's why we have laws to protect minorities. What happens if 51% says, we're going to take your land? It's legal, it's not right, is it? 51% says, we think killing babies is okay. It's legal, but it's not right, is it? That's what we degenerate to. And now we're no longer actually trying to put the principles of liberty and export the principles of liberties. We're just exporting democracy, and they're not the same. But our Christian liberty is meant to endure. Romans 8:21 says, because the creature of itself shall be delivered, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's meant to endure. And one day the whole creation is going to share in our redemption. Not just these physical bodies, but the whole earth. We, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. Amen. We look for that day. Liberty is meant to endure. We need to make sure that we live free as Christians. Book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know, that's one thing that we need to understand. We need to understand that we're free. That if the Spirit of God dwells in you and dwells in your heart, then you are free. That you can actually, that sin that so easily besets you, you can have the victory over. And it's meant to grow. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. A lot of times we have preachers and they get up to preach and they look at the crowd and the crowd seems to be against them and say, boy, it was just hard to preach to that crowd. And then they get in a crowd and everybody's all excited and happy and say, "Well, I had liberty to preach." Well, I got news for you. I got liberty to preach no matter what your face looks like. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Truth is truth. We can all remain free. But you know, in order for liberty to endure, it has to be exercised. It has to be exercised. We have a culture where over 50% of the people that are eligible to vote don't vote, don't we? All they do is whine and complain. They don't vote. They have the right to vote, but they don't vote. And then a lot of them vote and don't know what they're voting for. I've always been a Democrat. I've always been a Republican. I've always been that. Well, what are they doing right now? Are they is that the way it's supposed to go? And granted, our choices And by the way, that's one of the reasons our churches have gotten few. It's because people just, well, my mama was a Democrat, my daddy was a Democrat, grandpa was a Democrat, grandma was a Democrat, or Republican, or this or that, or whatever the case it may be. We were this, and they were always that. We've always been that. But they're killing you. I wish they'd do better, but I've always been this, or I've always been that. They're not actually exercising the liberty. Because if you're going to vote the way somebody else voted, just because they voted that way and they always have, is that freedom? No, it's not freedom. It's willful bondage, isn't it? It's neglect. And we have people we have people up in Congress that are there year after year after year after year after year and do nothing and don't hit a lick for right, don't represent the interests of their people. Why? Because people just vote them in. They don't pay attention to what they're actually doing. The only time they pay attention is when they're making their promises. And where we are, people don't exercise liberties that they have. And I could go on that and on all kind of different topics as far as we talk about the liberties we have. I could go down the Bill of Rights. Show you where we're losing liberties because we simply do not or have not used them. And that same principle goes spiritually as well. Liberty must be exercised. Psalm 119 verse 45 says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." What is it that people do, that the number one thing that people do that cause us to backslide and fall into sin? We stop seeking the Word of God. We stop studying it. We stop seeking His will, seeking to understand, seeking to know, and it costs us. But we're supposed to, He says, "I'll walk at liberty because I seek thy precepts." I'm going to continue. James chapter 1 verse 25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." James 2:12 says, "So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." You know what God is saying to us? Exercise the liberty that I have given you. We talked about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What is the purpose of the Spirit of God? What is his job? He'll guide us into all what? Truth. He'll take of God's, of the Lord Jesus, and show it unto us. "He shall bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have told you." This is the blessing that we have, but we have to exercise the liberty. When the pandemic hit, the reason I did not shut the doors is because we're free. I had people tell me, "You ought to shut the doors." And I said, "No, we're free." People are free to make their choices. In some places, they took the choice away from them, didn't they? And thank God for those churches that stood. And they were willing to face the wrath of the state governments. And thank God for those people that were willing to stand. It got all the way to Supreme Court. Supreme Court said they were free. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. But liberty has to be exercised. It has to be exercised in our daily life. You're free as a Christian. You're free to serve God. You're free to say yes to God and no to sin. You're free. Free to have the victory over sin. Liberty has to be exercised. And then there's another thing that we always understand is that liberty is always under attack and it has to be guarded. Liberty is always under attack and it has to be guarded preciously. Listen, we fought so many wars and the main pretext of these wars is liberty. Our national security, right? Why do we want to fight for our national security? Because if we lose our national security, we'll no longer be free. I mean, we give it away, unfortunately. But the wars we fought were supposed to be about liberty, maintaining our national security, maintaining liberty, all the things that we're doing there. And likewise, we have to understand that liberty is under attack. Christian liberty is under attack. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4. That because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19, talking about these false teachers. He says, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. We see that all the time, don't we? We see the communism, we see all the ideas of liberty and those things brought in and tried to use to subvert actual liberty, brought in under the guise of liberty. And we see it in Christian circles and those that profess. We see it in the world, we see it in the churches. People come in and under the guise, so-called guise of liberty, they bring people into bondage to sin. I gave the example of the Episcopal Church and the problems they were having, and so you have a man who is a homosexual, a sodomite, and now he's in charge of the whole church when the Bible clearly condemns it, doesn't it? But most of the time it's not that drastic, is it? Most of the time it's just a bunch of people who decided they don't like the preacher, and they run off a man of God and go get somebody who'll do what they want. That's how you get to that point. We don't pay attention. We don't hold one another accountable to stay with the Word of God. I mean, I could give you hundreds of examples of the things that have happened. We've looked at culture, we've looked at our culture, we've looked at you look at all the mainline denominations and you see them all going into liberalism and modernism and all of the things to the point where just about anything goes. How'd they get that way? Well, they allowed their colleges to be infiltrated and their pulpits to be infiltrated. And it was just a downward spiral. They didn't hold the line. They didn't stand for liberty. They allowed people to come in and attack. We need to be careful of the same thing. We need to be careful not just as a church or as churches or in that regard, but we need to be careful as individuals. We need to realize that there are people whose goal is to enrich themselves and they don't really want to teach the Word of God. You know, we have a passel of TV preachers, don't we? You'd think that'd make a difference, but it's not. And if you listen to them, you find out there's a lot of things that they just won't say when it comes about the Bible. And that's a shame. But it's not just the TVs, is it? It's the pulpits. It's the people on the street. Liberty is always an attack. And there's a final point that I want to make this morning, and this comes down to the mostly to the individual. Liberty is lost when it's abused. We have a lot of talk about liberty today, but most of the people, when you talk about liberty today, their idea is liberty to just do whatever you want to do. Liberty, we want liberty. We want to be free to do whatever we want to do. We don't want anybody to say that's wrong. We don't want anybody to say that's wicked. We don't want anybody to say that's hurtful or harmful. We have reached a point in our culture where we have a very loud voice saying that good is evil and evil is good. That's the truth. And we've got that way because of people abusing liberty. We're told in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Galatians 5:13 tells us, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. In other words, our liberty is not there so that we can take advantage of other people. Our liberty is not given to us so we can ingratiate and enrich ourselves at the expense of other people. That's not liberty. That's license. That's licentiousness. We live in a licentious culture. But you know, the failure is largely laid at the feet of those that profess to believe the Bible. We have a culture of people today that think it's no big deal to go out and drink, and they call themselves Christians, even though the Bible clearly says that drunkenness is a sin. We don't care about that. You try to point something out to somebody, oh, you're just being legalistic. I'm not being legalistic, I'm being free. I'm not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We have to be careful. Because if we abuse our liberty, it costs somebody. It could cause a stumbling block to those that are weak. And guess what happens when people fall at stumbling blocks? They fall into bondage, don't they? I remember young Christian in the Navy, and we went to France. And you go to France, and a lot of places in Europe, it is not at all like we're getting there. We're on our way to that. But you're talking about explicit public nudity. I'm talking about billboards with nudity all over them for the little children to see. And things on the billboard that I can't describe in mixed company and wouldn't do that. I'm talking about that bad. And I go over there and I was sitting there with at a landing. We were waiting to go back to the ship, and there was a guy there that had professed to be a Christian. He wasn't on the same ship I was, but I had met him. And I told him, I said, he, you know, I was just kind of shaking my head. He said, "You seem kind of down." He said, "What's about it?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "I don't want to go on liberty." And everything. He said, "You enjoy yourself?" I said, "No." I said, "Where I went, there's nudity. I was constantly having to avert my eyes and not, you know, look at that stuff." And you know what he told me? He said, "Oh, that stuff doesn't bother me anymore. I can look at it all I want to. It doesn't bother me at all." You liar. No. But he's like, oh, he said, it's no big deal. Well, it's a big deal to me. I read the Bible. It says a lot about nudity and immorality and sensuality and things that Christians should avoid. Now, there may be times where it's thrust upon us and we have to deal with it. I understand that. But to sit there and say, it don't bother me, it doesn't matter to me, it doesn't affect me, I have a hard time with that one. And it's not just that. I'm just using that as one example of many. We have a tolerance for false doctrine. We have a tolerance for different types of sin. And our culture is being pushed toward that. You look at Europe, what Europe used to be, we are now. What Europe is becoming, we're on our way there. What Europe is now. And it's ugly. And it's sad, you know, they consider Europe and the United States as the so-called Christian nations. And then you have the Muslim nations, and a lot of them would just as soon kill us as look at us. But they have better morals than many of us do. Many people that profess to name the name of Christ do. That's a shame, isn't it? Amen. And what happens is when we become comfortable with sin, we become in bondage to sin, and when we abuse our liberty in Christ, and guess what? It brings us back into bondage. Yes, you can be legalistic. If you think somehow that you can justify yourself by your deeds, if you think somehow that you go to God in prayer and God's going to listen to you because you're better than everybody else, and you go to church and everything and you start resting on all your laurels, you better pay attention, because Jesus said, many shall come unto me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And his answer to them is, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. He's talking about people that try to justify themselves to save themselves by their works. Well, if I couldn't justify myself to God by my works to get saved, I certainly can't justify myself to God by my works now that I am saved. Doesn't mean we don't do good works. It doesn't mean that it's not important. It doesn't mean that God doesn't notice. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't bless. But I don't look, when I come before God, I don't come in my name. At the end of every prayer, I say, in whose name? In Jesus' name. And I come into the holiest of all by a new and living way, not by my blood, but by the blood of Jesus, don't I? And 1 John 1:9 is no good without the blood of Jesus. Because before that it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin, doesn't it? My relationship with God is not based upon, primarily upon my behavior so much as it is the blood of Jesus. Now, if the blood of Jesus is applied and I'm truly a believer, that's going to make an impact on my behavior. If the Spirit of God is speaking to me and I say yay, yes to the Spirit of God, that will make an impact on my behavior. If I believe God's Word, that will make an impact on my behavior. But I can't say, well, look at me. Look at me, Lord. Look how many years I've preached. You know, Lord, look at me. I got saved in 1983, and then when you moved on my heart and told me that impressed upon me that you wanted me to preach, look what I've been doing. I've been preaching ever since, Lord. I've been doing what you said ever since. I can't go up to God and say, look at this. Because none of that is based upon me, because without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the shedding of His blood, without His death, His burial, His resurrection, I wouldn't be here. I can say just like the Apostle Paul, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But thank God I'm free. Thank God I have liberty. Thank God I'm free to serve the Lord. And I can do what I'm supposed to do, lay up treasure in heaven, earn a reward. All because of Jesus. Because He made me free. Are you free today? First thing I ask, are you saved? Do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? Are you 100% sure of that? If you're not, I've got good news. Christ died to set you free. Free from the penalty of sin, but also free from the power of sin. To where we, while we wait the completion of our redemption, can live free. And so if you say, preacher, I'm saved. Are you living free? Are you living as one who's been set at liberty? Told a story in the Sunday school of people who were captive in the Vietnam War and had been there for years, and then they brought them out. When they set them at liberty, they went right back into their cages. They didn't go to get on the boat. They started going back to go back in because that's all they knew. They couldn't comprehend, wrap their minds around freedom. Well, Christians, if anybody ought to understand freedom, understand liberty, it ought to be us. We're free to live the way God intended. And it doesn't matter what the devil or the world or anybody else says. Doesn't matter how you feel. You can be free. You can live free. You can live in liberty. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Why? Because Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prison to them that are bound. Father, we thank You for this day, and we just, Lord, we're thankful for our liberty we have as Americans. But Lord, that liberty won't endure for eternity. But the liberty we have that was purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ is eternal. So Lord, help us not to wait, but to live in that liberty today. Lord, You know every heart, You know every need. And I just pray that You'd help us to be free. There's no greater thing in the human soul than to just be free and have genuine and true liberty. Lord, help us to understand the cost. Help us to understand Your purpose, that it was to endure and grow. That we need to exercise it, that we need to guard it against attack and realize there's always attack on liberties. And Lord, that we need not abuse it, that we ought to use our liberty as it was intended. And Father, we thank You that in Christ Jesus we have liberty. Amen. God bless you.